A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Today we're with Rebecca, and I appreciate her joining us today. So hi, Rebecca, how are you?
Good, how are you? I'm glad to be here.
I'm doing good. So we're going to discuss all things diet topics today. Keto, carnivore, and we're going to get into some really interesting things. So Rebecca, could you introduce yourself? Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, your family life, maybe the region where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah. So my name is Rebecca Bavery. I'm a nurse and certified ketogenic nutrition specialist. We are an Army family and we just moved to North Carolina from Washington State. I have two children. They are 16 years old, Jacob and Audrey, and they are both on the autism spectrum. I am currently going back to school to hopefully get my nurse practitioner degree so that I can help people with metabolic health and be one of the low carb friendly medical providers out there in the world.
Very cool. Awesome. So do you live East Coast, West Coast?
We're in North Carolina, so okay. South.
Okay. It didn't sound like you were from North Dakota or anything like that.
No. A lot of people, it's funny that you talk about my accent because nobody could ever guess it in Washington State. Everybody loved it. And they're always like, are you from the South? And I'm like, no, I'm not from the South. And they're like, where are you from? I was like, I'll give you three guesses. Nobody could ever guess. I always got like Arkansas, Georgia. I'm like, that's the South. I'm originally from West Virginia.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. So what do you actually do for a living?
Right now, I'm a full-time student. Just because when we moved here, I was getting ready to start my nurse practitioner. And I didn't know how the coursework would go. So right now, I'm not working. I just applied to be a graduate assistant for the school to help because I seem to be pretty good at the material and the tech behind it all. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to do that too. And it'll look good on a resume. I do some coaching, but it's few and far between just because it's a lot of time, especially when you take on new clients. Mm-hmm. So once my other ones, you know, had graduated, I was like, okay, let's hold off on pulling more in at this time, you know, just to see how the coursework was. But I got a 4.0 this semester. So
awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very cool. So you obviously are in the ketogenic space. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, exactly why are you in that space? What kind of led you to be in the ketogenic area?
Back in 2018, well, let's start further back. I was diagnosed with autoimmune issues right around, I want to say 2012, 2013. And really, it was like I had thyroid issues and I had something called Sjogren's, which is a common autoimmune disease in women. And I had become so fatigued and tired and my symptoms were so bad. And I was on a bunch of medications. So I was on high blood pressure medication. I was on antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds, lots of allergy meds, just a lot of things. And nothing helped. Like, and I was also on pain management because Sjogren's can cause a lot of pain. And there was nothing that was working. I was super fatigued and couldn't get out of bed in the morning. My husband was begging me to get up and take care of the kids because they were in elementary school at the time. And my brother, who also has autoimmune issues, was like, hey, why don't you try this ketogenic diet? It's supposed to work. And I was like, okay. So I looked into it, and this is in 2018, and immediately saw like really positive results. So I was, within 6 months, I was off medications. Not the allergy medications. It took a little bit longer for the allergy meds. But blood pressure, depression meds, anxiety meds, pain meds. I was off of all pain meds, and I was on multiple pain. Yeah. So I was able to get off these medications. I was like, wow, there's something to this. And that's when, not too long after that, I think it was in 2018, the magic pill came across my Netflix feed, and we started looking into that. And I was like, whoa, this is kind of big, because it's working for not just autoimmune. It's not just weight loss. So, you know, I really dug deep into it, and I kind of stuck with it, which is funny because my brother didn't. Yeah. So I never really looked back. And that's when, I really started digging into the science. I even looked at something called The Science of Fasting, which was on, might have been on Netflix or Prime. And I was like, whoa, there's something to this. And that's when I kind of got into it. And that's like the next year in 2019 is when I went and got my certification in certified ketogenic nutrition specialist through the American Nutrition Association.
Awesome. So that's what CKNS stands for, right?
That is, yes.
Very cool. Very cool. So you had mentioned that your children were on the autism spectrum.
Correct.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so they were diagnosed when they were 4 years old. And at the time, you know, people were talking about diet with autism and like, you should take them off of dyes and go gluten-free and things like that. So when they were 4 years old, that would have been in 2011. So back in 2011, we started them on gluten-free diet. Mm-hmm. And it, there was some, you know, benefits, but it wasn't until I saw the magic pill that I was like, I've got to do something to see if this would help my kids. And my son refused in the beginning, but when my daughter was 11, so that would have been in about 2018, about the same time as me, we put her on a ketogenic diet. And she is moderate to high functioning, but we noticed a big improvement in her and her cognitive abilities and just how she acted. She talked more. She became more outgoing. A lot of good, positive aspects happened. But then my mom died in 2019.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
And I appreciate that. Thank you. But the combination of kind of like losing my mom and just trauma from that, trauma at school, she stopped doing the diet. And I know there's going to be parents out there who's like, but you're the parent. I'm like, yeah, she just lost her favorite grandparent. And I let slip. And then she refused to go back on it. And, and I was depressed at the time, too. I wasn't going to force her. And so she regressed a lot. And there was a lot of trauma that happened and with everything going on and trauma at school. So we did finally get her back on the diet in about 2021 when we convinced her brother to go on it. She was on some pretty heavy antidepressants, and they had put her on a medication called Abilify. And I don't know if you know much about some of these antipsychotic medications. But they cause like pseudo Cushing's, and they can make metabolic issues worse. It causes high blood sugar, just a lot of problems. And overcoming that was really difficult. So we did get her off the medications, but her progress on the ketogenic diet was really, really slow, and she'd regressed so much that it's been a big fight just to progress her. But we're finally starting to see the benefits being back on a ketogenic diet. Even though it's been over 2 years, it's taken that long to overcome those medication side effects. And
wow.
Yeah, and it's a pretty atrocious medication. But we're seeing, every day I'm seeing improvements in her cognitive functioning. And it's little things that you wouldn't think about. Like normal people, neurotypical people like us, we don't think about it. Like, oh, the ketchup bottle, there's a little bit in the bottom. I can't get it out. I'm going to toss it. You know, now she's like, oh, and just put a little bit of water in it and shake it and I can get it out. And it seems so small in our perspective, but with her, it's huge. Like, that's a huge thing. Whoa, she realized this. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. So we are seeing those types of little tiny baby steps, and she is getting better. It doesn't erase the trauma, but it is helping her overcome it. So that's one thing that, you know, that's been like a blessing from this.
Absolutely. Very cool. So in terms of the medication, what was the reason why the doctors wanted her to go on that medication?
So when my mom died, my mom died in April, and she hadn't been back to the house since that whole time until September of 2019. So she was excited to go see her papa, and she was, we get there, we drop her off because me and my husband were going away for the weekend. And when I came back, the daughter I dropped off was not the same daughter that I picked up. While she was there, she realized that Nanny wasn't coming home. She realized that she thought she could handle it, my mom being gone, but she really couldn't. And it affected her way more. And she internalizes. She goes inside herself. So we had to get her into therapy. And she also has comorbid obsessive compulsive disorder and ADHD. So we had to start treating for that too. And yeah, so they started her on SSRIs. And then when that wasn't enough, they were like, well, Abilify can help. And typically it does in some people, but it just made things worse. And she started gaining weight, and then she got moon faced, and
wow.
Yeah, it was a whole mess.
So in terms of the autism with your son, is he moving along well with the ketogenic diet?
He is. So his story is pretty remarkable. And just a little plug, I do have an article in La Guia Keto about his journey and about Audrey's too. But in 2021, we noticed that Jacob was not maturing and growing like his peers. He was 14 years old. He had not hit puberty and was still very childlike. He was getting obese, and despite being active. And we were like, we sat him down and we were like, Jake, we're worried. Now, he's a little higher functioning than Audrey. So we sat him down. We're like, hey, we're super worried. This is why. We know that this diet can help you lose some of the weight, which is what we're super worried about. And do you think that you'll do it? Because he has a lot of food aversions, and doesn't just have food aversions. He's a resistant eater. So like, if you tried to get him to eat broccoli, he would gag and vomit.
Oh, wow.
And so he's one of those kids that if you're like, well, you're not getting up until you eat, finish your plate.
Right.
He would fall asleep at his plate because he's like, I'm not going to gag and vomit. And right. I'm like, that's fair.
I don't blame him. I would do the same thing with broccoli.
Exactly. So he did reluctantly agree. He didn't want to do it. So we had to figure out a way to replace his junk, because he ate fried foods, sweet foods, junk foods, cereal, which is still a junk food, and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And it was just quintessential kid junk. And so we had a very, very big task, you know, and it was very slow in the beginning. So trying to get him to move from junk to good food. We started with just trying different meats, trying different keto treats, if we could try that. Mm-hmm. And we settled on, it was a long process, we settled on bacon, chicken wings, which have now morphed into chicken thighs. He will eat chicken thighs. Nuts, so mixed nuts. He does eat mixed nuts. And he will eat some keto pancakes, depending on the texture, because he's a texture kid. Mm-hmm. And he does eat, I took Maria Emmerich's bread recipe for her egg white bread and tweaked it until he would eat it. And so he does take a low carb version of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it's really peanut butter and jam. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I make the jam. Sometimes I buy, there's a brand that's really low carb that doesn't have like a bunch of fake nastiness in it. He takes that to school every day for lunch. So we finally got him on this diet, and it took about 6 months. Within 6 months, he had hit puberty and almost completely caught up with his peers.
Wow.
He had lost weight, and he went from being obese to the doctors actually being like, he's too skinny now. I was like, you weren't worried when he was obese. And now he's too skinny. That's interesting.
Right.
You know, even some of his autistic mannerisms started to go away. Now there are people like, are you sure he's autistic? I'm like, please stop. It doesn't go away. He was not misdiagnosed. I promise. Saw him at home. He still stims. Anybody in the autism community knows what stimming is. So he still makes noise at home. And does a little bit of running, but it's much less. And his cognitive functioning is much better. And his conversation is very normal now. He has normal conversations with his peers. And it's been a pretty big change from where he was back in 2021 when he started. So,
wow, that's awesome.
It is.
Yeah, that's a huge difference in the diet. I imagine what he was eating before is pretty standard, you know, for most kids that age, especially. And go to what he's eating now. I mean, that's a testament to you, Mom, and, you know, making sure that he gets everything that he needs. But, you know, also that ketogenic style eating doesn't really need to be, you know, gross or no variety and things like that. So, yeah, that's really awesome that he was able to make that shift.
Well, the one thing that really worked in his favor is that he's a creature of habit. So he was okay with bacon, chicken, nuts, and a modified PB&J. Like, he was okay with the routine of it. He's okay with it being the same thing every day. So that worked. That one aspect of autism really worked in our favor. You know, so I will say caveat. So he started running cross country, mm-hmm. and he still likes to have his junk food every now and then. And we did make a deal with him. Like, you go run a 5K, like, you're practiced, you go to a meet, you get a cheat meal. It's not very often. It's not every day. But I'm also trying to teach them to make good decisions. And because he's 16, I'm like, you have to make these decisions eventually for yourself. And you need to learn that it's not going to kill you once in a while to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be the basis of your food pyramid. You need to understand that this is what is healthy and this is what is not. So it's okay to have your Chick-fil-A. Yes, I know Chick-fil-A is horrible, but he loves it. You can have it every now and then, and it's not going to kill you, but you can't eat it every day.
Yeah, it can't be your normal. That's what my friend Russ always says. His new normal is ketogenic, but He occasionally indulges in an off-plan meal, and he's not dead yet, so.
I am not one of those people that can do that, to go, like, yeah, I can't. I'm not one that can't cheat. If I cheat, like, I'm afraid I'll derail.
Mm-hmm.
And I was addicted to sugar. Like, the amount of sugar I was eating, oh my goodness. I look at it now, and I'm like, how am I not dead? So it's like, how was I not a diabetic? Maybe I was. And I just know it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now I can't even eat a strawberry now without it tasting so sweet that it's like too much. So which I'm glad for, because no temptation to go back. So.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Every once in a while, I have that feeling of, I wish that there wasn't consequences to eating the garbage, because it does taste so good.
So good. And they make it that way. That's what they do. And it's hyper palatable and it makes you addicted.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've gone off the carnivore diet for maybe 4 or 5 times over the last, well, since February 1st. And I feel it every single time. So yeah. I'm one of those people that just can't do it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of your autoimmune conditions, did you see any improvement with yourself and your diet?
Yes. So I started out dirty, and I think I mentioned that. Started out kind of dirty keto, net carbs, was eating all the I ate processed stuff, still ate seed oils, and I still did see a dramatic improvement. I think part of it is because I went off so many medications and things started to go away and I took medications away. I felt better. I was able to actually go get a job and I had the energy to get up in the morning and take care of my kids and go to work and get things done. And slowly from 2018 to 2022, the beginning of 2022, I think it was, I started cleaning it up, you know, becoming better and better. And it wasn't until I got COVID back in July of this year that I started seeing autoimmune flares kind of pick up again. And so I'm still kind of going through that. Stress is a big trigger. So diet did a great deal, and it does do a great deal. It's not the cure-all that people, you know, don't want people to go through and look at, you know, influencer X cured everything. Yay, do what she did. It doesn't work that way. Mine, like, there are things that I can eat that other people can't eat. I can't eat chicken. Like, chicken makes my joints hurt. And I found that out when I did the baby B&E challenge in January of this year and then added chicken in. And it was really bad. And I was very sad because I really like chicken wings and chicken thighs. And I can't have them.
Right.
Well, I can, but I will suffer the consequences.
Right.
So it has worked. I think that people need to realize you also have to manage stress. People with autoimmune diseases, stress is a huge trigger and they don't realize it. So it's also about your sleep. It's also about, are you getting enough water for your body? You know, are you getting enough? Especially because I have Sjogren's. So my body is attacking the moisture producing glands. And so I'm dry. So I drink probably twice as much water as what most people do. And lots of salt. I have to have a lot of salt. But you have to manage your stress. And you have to get your diet right. You have to get your sleep right. You have to get some sunshine. And I think that too many people are hoping for a miracle cure in a diet when it's just a tool in your toolbox. And that's what I want people to kind of take away from that. Did it help? Absolutely. I am now a functioning, productive member of society that is now back in school, and the brain fog is gone enough 90% of the time. And I'll take 90% better. And now I'm getting my master's and I've got the ability to think, to focus, to do these complex things with my brain that I couldn't do before. I've noticed that word retrieval issues are less, because that's one huge thing with a lot of autoimmune people will be like, hey, what's that thing? That thing, it holds up that liquid in it that's clear and you live off of it. Oh, it's a water bottle. You know, and we have those issues. That's a lot less. And I think that once you get your diet right, you get all these other tools right, and you've got your sleep patterns down, you know, you do see healing, but it takes all these things. It can't just be one thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome that the ketogenic way of eating has really helped improve so many things for you. I don't think you mentioned this, but in our communication prior, you mentioned better hormone regulation and helping with anemia. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yes. So because I have Hashimoto's, my thyroid was really off. And with adding in the diet, I know there's a lot of people that's like, you can't go keto if you have Hashimoto's. Yes, you can. Be quiet. I did, and my thyroid is finally functioning somewhat normally. However, I had to add iodine in. I did have to add in the iodine because I wasn't eating any at all because I don't do iodized salt. I don't do shellfish. Like shellfish, the texture's gross. So I did have to add that in, and I saw a difference when I did add in some iodine too. But once it helped regulate my thyroid, then it also helped regulate my menstrual cycle, which I'm talking some female stuff here. So I'm a nurse, so we talk gross things all the time.
Right.
So with my period, it was, I would bleed heavy for 4 days and have like 2 medium days and have like 3 light days. So this really extended period, and I was always heavy. And once my thyroid, of course, started getting in tune, then my cycle got in tune. But whenever I was still in the heavy period cycle, I became iron deficient anemia. And it was super frustrating because the doctor that I was seeing was like, oh, yeah, it looks like you have iron deficiency anemia. You need to take an iron supplement, and left it at that. And I was like, what? Like, is there a dosage? Is there a recommendation? Are you going to call me something in? Like, what's going on here? They did nothing. So I did start a little bit of chelated iron every now and then just to bump me up quicker. But then in January of last year or this past year, I went BBB&E. And switched from eating more chicken-based to more beef-based. And done. Like, haven't had an anemia problem since. So, which I think is super important for people to understand. Because iron deficiency in women is usually because of heavy menstrual periods. But if you're eating enough beef and you're eating enough fat, because all of your sex hormones are made from cholesterol. If you're eating enough of those, things will, you know, start to actually like smooth out and regulate, and you'll get back on this normal cycle. And so, I mean, I told you about what it was before. It went to being very on the dot. And now it's like I have like a 4 to 5 day period, and it's more normal. I didn't know it wasn't normal before, apparently. Now it's like, oh, so you have a start day, which is kind of medium. You have a heavy day. You have a medium to light day. You have a light day. And then you're good. And it's like, I've never had that. So it was like, this is what it's supposed to be like.
That's very cool.
So, which is kind of nice. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I had my, just for clarification or transparency. Like, I haven't had my sex hormones checked because they tell me I'm not in perimenopause. I'm not premenopausal. So, because everything's normal. And so I'm like, okay, that's my next request is like, no, you're going to do this because I'm in my 40s. It's time you check them. But I can tell just because of the cycle regulations and things becoming normal.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you said that you were eating more heavy chicken-based type of diet, keto diet, and then you switched over to beef-based. Do you think that was the key, or just that you were eating more protein maybe, or more fat?
I think it was probably a combination of changing to ruminant meat and the addition of fat, because prior to January of this year, I was following more of a different ketogenic way of thinking. So I was thinking that lower fat, higher protein was the way to go, and realized that it just didn't feel right. I was always hungry. And my hormones were really screwy. That's when I was having all the hormone problems. And my anemia was getting kind of, you know, getting worse. My hemoglobin got down to like 10. So, which is really kind of, it's low. That's low. I was already like watching Dr. Barry, and I wasn't watching Nisha yet, believe it or not. I don't know why she just didn't pop up on my radar, but prior to being in the group, I really didn't watch her a whole lot. But I'd watched Dr. Barry stuff before, and I thought he was funny, and I'd read his book and joined his community. And I was like, holy crap, I've been doing it wrong because I've been following the wrong person. And if the person sees this, they will disown me. That's okay. I don't mind.
That's funny. Well, you're on the right track now. So that's all that matters.
I am. So I found, oh, the tribe is so great. Being in the group is so great. It's such, there's no cattiness. Not that I've seen. If there's cattiness and somebody's taking care of it behind the scenes, but it's right. Like, they're so supportive. People are kind and nobody's dogmatic, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody comes in and they're like the keto police.
Right.
Super nice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that is a huge benefit of Dr. Barry's group is, and that's a benefit also of a paywall. You know, you get people in there that want to actually be in there, not trolls.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Although you never know, trolls might pay $5.
Right.
depends on who's funding them.
Right, for sure. Absolutely. So you said you're a certified ketogenic nutrition specialist. What does that entail?
So the American Nutrition Association back in about 2019, because keto was on the rise, put together a program to certify people in the ketogenic way of eating. Mm-hmm. Because they were seeing it crop up more in you're just seeing it. It just started to explode again after the Atkins diet. It's like it went like this, and then all of a sudden it exploded again. And so they wanted a program that could kind of keep up with that. And so the program was based on Dr. Finney and Dr. Volek, two very big names since the 90s, like in the ketogenic research and education community. And so I decided to take that program. And I was also in the middle of finishing my bachelor's in nursing too. I mean, really, it's just a certification for people whose nutrition is actually in their scope of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So doctors, nurse practitioners, PAs, nurses, dietitians, nutritionists, you know, you can get this certification that teaches you how to talk to people about it, what the actual guidelines are, you know, and I guess just to have more letters after your name. I don't know how else to, you know, just tells people that, hey, I've taken courses and I know what I'm talking about. I did that back in 2019.
Okay. Very cool. Awesome. So a little bit about that article that you wrote in, how do you pronounce that?
La Guia Keto.
Yeah. So you said that was an article on your son and your daughter's autism?
Yes. Well, and about just our story of about us doing this to try to help them. So that's something that's really important to me, getting the word out there that this is another treatment modality for children with autism or adults with autism. Even Dr. Chris Palmer talked in Brain Energy about how it helps with autism and ADHD and other mental health issues. And it's super important that parents of children with autism have these tools. They have another tool in their toolbox, and it's something that doesn't cost anything except for groceries. And implementing it with certain kids can be difficult, but you can do it. I had a kid that would vomit at most things. And now, you know, we found something that he can eat that is ketogenic and is helping him and has healed him in some capacity. He's not 100% healed because you can't with autism, but parents need these tools. They need to understand they have something else and they need that hope, because I remember what it was like when they were 4 years old and we found out their diagnosis and the devastation and the hopelessness and the helplessness and just feeling so defeated. And I wish I would have known then what I know now about the ketogenic lifestyle, because I would have put them on it a lot sooner. And I do wonder, you know, well, how would that have changed things? And if my story of being able to change them when they're teenagers can help somebody implement it when they're 3, 4, 5 years old, like that's a big victory to me. If I can just inspire somebody else to try it. I still believe in the other modalities for treatment. ABA therapy was very important in the beginning for my kids before diet ever came into it. And, you know, I just think this is another tool in the toolbox that can have a profound effect and help with quality of life and help with cognitive functioning. I've seen it happen with my kids, and self-confidence. Because when Jacob was obese, he was self-confident, or, you know, not self-confident. He was self-conscious. And now he's become more self-confident. Actually, he's a little bit arrogant. It may have swung a little too far. And I can, I don't know if you want a picture of him or a picture of the art. I've got pictures of the articles and stuff too. But I can send you that if you want to just send me a message on how to get it to you. Sure. But yeah, so I want parents to have another tool in their toolbox. I want people to realize that this diet, don't get hung up on it being a cure-all, but it is another tool in your toolbox. And there have been many people who have completely reversed their autoimmune issues. I'm still working on mine, and that's okay, because I'm a work in progress. And my quality of life is still 10 times better, or probably more than what it was when I couldn't hardly get out of bed, when I couldn't get off the couch, when I was taking antidepressants and benzodiazepines and narcotics and blood pressure medications. And it's important for you to take the next steps, for you to get into this, for you to try something new. And, you know, the research that's coming out about it is flipping the paradigm on its head, which I love to watch. I'm a big skeptic of big food and big pharma. So when I see everything kind of get flipped, I'm like, ha ha. But yeah, it's like, that's my mission. So, and my mission, hopefully, if I, you know, make it through and pass my boards to become a nurse practitioner, is to give better tools to my patients. My goal is to go into metabolic therapy. So, yeah. So helping people. But I wouldn't mind even getting into autism therapy, working with kids with autism and helping in that way. And if people need to talk also, they can find me and reach out, and I can help kick around ideas with people to see if what they can do to help their kids with autism, or if they just need to vent, you know, because autistic parents need to vent sometimes.
Your knowledge to be able to help parents that, you know, to help improve those situations, that's priceless.
That's a goal. It's just a goal.
Right.
So I'm hoping, like, if anybody can, like, so this is in Spanish. So Tatiana did say that it was going to come out in English for the speakers. And I haven't heard back from when that's going to happen.
Okay.
You know, but I'm hoping that even this being seen by other parents, you know, that they could take something from it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it's a global issue that people are dealing with for sure.
It is.
And it sounds like you're equipped with so much knowledge now on the ketogenic diet and way of living that it doesn't really matter where you end up, a nurse practitioner or a coach or wherever it may be, that you're going to be able to help somebody no matter what.
And that's the goal. I just want to help people.
Yeah, that's awesome. So in a typical day, what does your diet look like?
Typical day. So I still do coffee, the dreaded, you know, the big stigma of coffee. Right. But I do try to do, I found one that's supposedly mold free. And I will say that I feel better when I drink it than when I say get a pod, like a, you know, and it's, I mean, it's good coffee, but it's still coffee. So I am drinking seed water. But I'm no seed oils. I'm ketovore. So people don't know what ketovore is. You know, there's still some plants in my diet. So the coffee, avocado oil based sauces, in some cases, you know, depending. Macadamia nut oil. I do still have some of that because I like the flavor profile. And it doesn't seem to bother me. Something that does seem to bother me, I just found out, are egg whites. So I've started eating egg yolks instead. And that's been very recent that I pulled them out of my diet. Bacon seems to be okay, but other pork doesn't. So I don't eat those. So typically, just in this recent where I've pulled the egg whites out, it's been beef of some kind, whether it's a sirloin steak or whether it's ground beef patties or, you know, ground beef, salt, egg yolks. And that's really been it recently. Sometimes, occasionally, there are a couple vegetables that I personally can still eat. And they're very low oxalate. It's the low oxalates. So romaine lettuce, I'm okay with. Zucchini, believe it or not, I'm actually okay with. Pickles don't bother me. And of course, cucumbers, because technically they're the same. So those, I will occasionally have those. And those, I mean, that's a cheat for me. But right. Might have those once a week, maybe. I can't eat garlic. I mean, I can, but I will suffer the consequences.
Right.
So onions are the same way. I can tolerate a little bit of onion, but I can't tolerate a lot. I seem to be okay with heavy cream in moderation. And I occasionally will have a little bit of heavy cream maybe in my coffee. But typically I don't eat a lot of cheese because cheese bothers me, especially soft cheeses. I might have a little sliver of cheddar. So
okay.
Hard cheddar. You have to be able to knock somebody out with the brick.
Yeah, that's maybe not always the nicest to munch on.
Actually, that's my favorite, so I'm okay.
Right.
I'm okay with it.
There you go. So it's interesting that you mentioned pork and having an issue with that. My whole entire life, I've loved pork, especially barbecue and smoked pork butt and stuff like that. So we recently bought a smoker, and I'm like, man, I've never smoked pork butt or anything like that. So I did, and man, I had the hugest issue with pork to the point where I'm not going to eat it anymore. Like I just can't. I can occasionally eat some bacon and not have any issues with it, but any other kind of pork, it seems like I have an issue with it now for some reason.
Yeah. Well, even this past week, found some pork belly and I was like, oh, pork belly. And I even had a reaction to the pork belly, but there's something, maybe it's something in the curing process. I don't know what, but it seems like bacon is okay as long as it's like cured and they've done stuff to it. But once I eat like the pork butt that I smoked recently, like it made me, I felt gross. And
right.
It's so hard to explain because, you know, people are like, well, what is feeling gross? I'm like, I don't know. My stomach was kind of icky and it didn't hurt. Like, it's not like I had stomach pains, but I just felt gross. I felt a little more sluggish. My joints kind of hurt a little bit, had a little bit of muscle pain. And I'm like, well, was it the food or was it, you know, the fact that I did yoga? You know, what was it? And I ate it again and then it happened again. And I was like, there it is. I can't, you know, I can have a little bit of bacon, but I don't eat bacon every day. I'm not one of those people who eats a pound of bacon. My son eats a pound of bacon every morning. He does. It's crazy. But I typically was eating scrambled eggs or fried eggs. And now I realize that the egg whites were making me feel icky. I'm like, man, it's another one. But, you know, but I like beef. Actually, I really love beef. And I really like lamb. And so I'll make lamb burgers. Sometimes I'll mix the beef and lamb together and make, you know, beef lamb burgers. And yeah. And salt.
So obviously, cattle, they're a ruminant animal. So they process, you know, what they eat many, many times before it is incorporated into their flesh. But with pork, they kind of just eat trash, basically. And they don't have that ruminant gut. So I've heard people say that it depends on what the hog eats.
Yeah.
If you're going to possibly have a reaction down the road. But I'm too lazy to, you know, I don't want to go get, you know, like Dr. Barry says, a pan of massaged pork.
That's great.
And things like that. Make sure that it's ate a proper diet just so that I can eat it. You know, I'm too lazy for that. So I'm just going to stay away from it, I think.
Well, I can't afford it right now. So I'm paying for school out of pocket right now and, you know, not working. So
right.
Not yet. I might pick up work again. I haven't decided yet. It just depends on the demands on my time. So.
Very cool. So where can everybody find you on the internet?
So I do have a website. Got old pictures on there, but I do have a website. It's whatisketo.com. I don't know how I scored that one, but I scored it. Cool. And then I'm on Instagram and I'm on YouTube. And my Instagram is just Rebecca Babry, CKNS. And my YouTube, I'm Rebecca Babry Keto. And it is Babry, which is a lot of people are like, is that Babry? I get Bravery too, which is very sweet. Thank you. Because we are a military family. But no, it's Babry. And I'm on there. It's a budding channel. Just kind of, you know, just trying to get out there. Hoping to do some more interviews with people. Especially if there's any ketogenic families out there that have autism and they've used it, I would love to do an interview with people, you know, to kind of talk to them about that, because it is super important that, you know, people know. So.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I'll definitely link those in the description below. Before we end things, is there anything that you want to say in terms of if somebody is considering a ketogenic diet for their children with autism, what would you say to them?
I would say you have absolutely nothing to lose and so much to gain. I can't imagine where my son would be if we hadn't done this. And yes, we really had to talk him into it, but I can't imagine where we would be and what would have happened. Would he be diabetic by now? Because, I mean, he was 5 foot tall and 140 pounds of all around the waist. And would we have had to take him to get hormone therapy? And it was a blessing for us. And it was the best tool in our toolbox. And you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And you can find ways to swap out foods. There are great cookbooks and people to follow that have taken standard American diet food and ketified it. And if you've got kids that all they'll eat is pancakes, well, we can do something about that. We can use that. And there are ways to do it and get them on a ketogenic way of eating. And I think that it's important to try. And it did take some time, but it is possible. And there is hope for autism. And that's really to be the takeaway. There is hope. Here's another tool. And find one of us on the internet that can help you implement it and kick around strategies and find ways to replace their foods. Because if I can figure out a way to make a low-carb peanut butter and jelly sandwich for a super picky kid that can't stand weird textures, if I can do it, you can do it.
I love that. That's awesome. Very cool. Thanks, Rebecca, for joining me today. And we look forward to talking with you in the future. And appreciate you for coming.
Absolutely. And I'll see you in the community.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Carnivore Today. We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet,
but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.